Our scripture this morning comes from John's Gospel, from John 1. The church in its wisdom tends to read scripture according to a three-year cycle, which is to say John in some ways and we as readers of John get the short end of the stick just a little bit. John is not read in all of its fullness, and it's a price that we pay. But it also means that we have particular seasons in the church, especially around Christmas and Easter, when we try to read a lot of the most familiar and most important parts of John's Gospel. And so this morning's Gospel is part of that. It's John just after the baptism of Jesus. And so it's yet another story, kind of continuing the story on the day of the baptism itself at first, where the character at the beginning, you'll see it picks up in the middle of a story, and it says he, and the he it's referring to is actually John the Baptist. And so it's a story of the call of the first disciples, as John's Gospel tells it, and focusing on this moment just after the baptism with John the Baptist and Jesus, and then some others. So let us listen then for God's guidance in this, God's holy word. The next day, John the Baptist saw Jesus coming toward him and declared, "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks ahead of me because he was before me.' I myself did not know him. But I came baptizing with water for this reason, that he might be revealed to Israel." And John testified, "I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I myself have seen and have testified that this is the Son of God.' The next day, John again was standing with two of his disciples, and as he watched Jesus walk by, he exclaimed again, 'Look, here is the Lamb of God.' And his two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. When Jesus turned and saw them following, he said to them, 'What are you looking for?' They said to him, 'Rabbi, where are you staying?' And he said to them, 'Come and see.' And they went and saw where he was staying and remained with him that day. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. And he first found his brother Simon and said to him, 'We have found the Messiah.' And he then brought Simon to Jesus, who looked at him and said, 'You are Simon, son of John. You are called to be Cephas.'" Friends, this is the word of God, and it can be trusted. I think the key verse is verse 38. When Jesus turned and saw them following, he said to them, "What are you looking for?" What are you looking for? It's a word, actually, the specific phrase, "What are you looking for?" It comes up two times, only two, in John's Gospel. Jesus says, "What are you looking for?" here. The other time is at the end of the story, or close to it. It's in the Garden of Gethsemane in John 18, when Jesus has gone to pray after the Last Supper. And he's with a handful of disciples, among them Andrew, we think, who's mentioned in this earlier story. And he goes to the garden and asks for the cup to pass from him, but eventually he looks up and he sees the temple guard, the Roman legion, and Judas. And he steps forward and he says to them, "Who are you looking for?" And I think about that, and I think about how that must have been for Andrew in that moment, that later moment. Was he standing there in the garden, suddenly, powerfully transported back to the other time he'd heard Jesus say those words, that moment when things were just beginning, when what it is that you're looking for was a question being asked of him, and which had elicited from him, from his brother, and then so many others, such a joyous response. You ever had that happen, a moment sometime later when your words come back to you, you hear them, you remember something that you said, you hear it again all these years later, this time later? There's such a journey that they go on, right? This wonderful story of their ministry, and it's sort of the ongoing road movie of Jesus and these folks on the roads of Galilee and into Jerusalem and doing all these wonderful things that they do. It must have seemed like a lifetime before, to be standing there and to remember that first call, that question that began everything. What are you looking for? Sometimes we don't know, right? Sometimes what we know is that we're looking. Some of the most powerful experiences in our lives are moments when we did not necessarily know that we were looking, but we suddenly find that we have been found. I don't want to embarrass him, but Alexander has a story that's like that. He has a story like that. When he was a young man, this is last year, right? When he was a young man, he got a chance to study at Interlaken, a music camp. I mean, I call it a music camp. I'm sure the musicians are like, it is not a music camp, and don't be a jerk. So I apologize. A summer music program. Is that? They're not even nodding now. Like, this is okay. What? All right. Any Interlaken? This. An adult summer camp for a prodigy like Alexander. And Alexander is a person who had devoted himself to music quite early, but that was not to say that it was necessarily easy being a musician in some of the places where he began. That was to really take on a particular kind of identity. And he tells the story. He'll tell it to you. He can't tell it to me without making me sort of cry, and I hope I don't, but I might. He talks about going to the rehearsal space at Interlaken as a young person, standing in the center and hearing all of these other musicians practicing, and just letting that sink in. And realizing that there were other people who loved what he loved and who cared like he cared and who knew what it was to want this life. It's an experience of being found. Not articulating consciously or verbally this sort of answer to the question, what are you looking for? But being a person who is in search. Finding that you are found. I think in some sense, these first disciples of Jesus who had begun as helpers of John the Baptist knew that they were in search. They'd first gone to John. John the Baptist was not an easy person to work for as I imagine him. John, as you've heard me say before, deliberately selected the garb and the manner of an Old Testament prophet, which is to say he lived in the wilderness. He ate locusts and wild honey. He wore a camel's hair tunic and a big leather belt. This is not a person, if you were going to get baptized and you found out he was going to hold you in his arms and dunk you under the water for a moment, there are a lot of people who would probably say, you know, I might actually rethink this whole thing. And so, as I imagine it, I think he probably needed helpers, deacons, people who would say, okay, now John's a little particular. It's going to be fun. You're going to really like that you did this. We're thrilled that you came. Hang in there with it. Let me introduce you to John. And so somehow these guys had found their way to John and had felt that call to stay with him and be part of that ministry. Probably a very necessary part. Because they were looking for something. And yet, only John was the one who could say, what you're looking for isn't me. You're looking for him. You're looking for that. What I can do, I can plant a seed. Heaven knows I hope I have. But it's journeying with him. It's only journeying with him that will let it grow. That will let you become, help you become these people who aren't searching, but these people who have found. Because he has found you. He has found us. And so we are called to be the found people who go out. Who go out in search of those who still need to be found. What are you looking for? I think we're all looking for that feeling of being loved, being understood, being heard, being seen. What we're all looking for, it's not so different. Our stories may be different. Our journeys may be different. But aren't we all looking for that place where we can stand and the music washes over us? And we know that we are with the people who understand. We know that we've been found. Isn't that really what we're looking for? So then how was it for Andrew? So much later. So many miles down the road. To hear that question come again from the lips of the man who'd asked it of him. This world, for all its challenges to faithful people, and there are many, is still in need, such deep, deep need, of people who have found what they were looking for and find in having that the strength to live differently, the strength to care in ways that the world itself does not particularly even seek to care or admire us for caring. We are called to look for what God cares about. And that's a different thing. In finding God, we find ourselves. In reaching out for transformation, we're changed. And the world itself, little by little, is changed. That's what it is to be found. And so when Jesus asks that question once again so much later, he's not telling Andrew that the journey's over. No, no. He's saying, what it takes to find me now is to walk on ahead, not by sight, but by faith, not by knowledge, but by hope, not by certainty, but trust, believing that there is still that call to find all those who are lost and to know that the power of being found is the beginning of the transformation of all things. May it be so for you. Amen.